Good morning and thank you for joining. I want to dedicate today's shiur to my grandfather, of name Sefer Zichrono Levracha, Shmuel ben Moshe, whose yahrzeit is today. So thanks very much for coming. So I want to talk about a story that I think doesn't get the appropriate press. Because as you know, in Shlach, the main event is the, or one of, it's hard to say such comments about any parsha in the Torah, but probably the most prominent story in Shalach is the story of the Meraglim. And there's actually a fascinating story that takes place right after the Chet HaMeraglim. So we're going to begin here from the aftermath. After the Jews are told that they're going to die in the desert, that the generation's going to die out, you've lost your chance 10 different times, you tested God, and that's it. And God says, okay, now we're going to wander in the desert. So you look at source number one, we pick up from that moment in the story. And that's where Moshe tells this to the people, and they're not so happy about this. So Moshe, again, telling this God's message to the Jews, to all the Jewish people, and they're very, very upset. They mourn heavily this news, which is understandable. They were just told they're essentially doomed to die in the desert and not reach Eretz Yisrael. Right? This is not great news. So at least some of them get up in the morning. They go to the head of the mountain saying, I'm not sure which mountain this is actually. It's an interesting question to ask geographically, but there's some sort of mountain that stands between the Jewish people and entering the land. And they say, Hinenu va'alinu al makom asher amar Hashem ki chatanu. Behold, we are going to ascend to the place that God told us, for we have sinned. Now, I don't know about you. That sounds like a great thing to. Well, let's say it this way. You could see this as some sort of tshuva, no? Think about it. What's tshuva? Tshuva is that you do something wrong, and you think about what you've done, and you do vidui, you tell Hashem I've sinned, and then you try to correct it. Right? So that's essentially what they're doing. They didn't want to go into Eretz Yisrael because they and they said nice things about it, and they said God's not going to take care of us. And now they're saying no, we're going. Okay, you know what, God? You're right. We did tshuva. Let's go. So that they don't get this a very positive response to the teshuva though. But Yomer Moshe says, Lama ze atem ovrim et pi Hashem. Why are you transgressing the word of God? V'hilot hitzlach. It shall not be successful. Now there's an interesting question to ask already here. Moshe says to them, you are transgressing or violating the word of God by doing what you just said. By saying, we sinned, we're going to go up into Eretz Yisrael. What word of God are they violating? It's kind of interesting. What are they doing wrong? Well, which command? Now, yeah? All right, do you want to say something?
They just got a message from Hashem that they're going to spend 40 years in the desert.
Ah, so that's one option. That God said you're going to die out in the desert. So that's a command. It's a command that, listen, take the hit. You did the time. Sorry, you did the crime. God did the time. Essentially, that's your argument. That is one possibility. And that's fascinating. I want to get back to that possibility later. We have another answer based on the retelling of the story. Because the Ramban doesn't like your answer. I should have brought it. The Ramban doesn't like that answer. But, okay. So he says, Moshe continuing, don't violate the word of God. You're not going to be successful. Al talu, don't go up. Ki in Hashem b'kir b'chem. Hashem is not with you. V'lon hinok v'l ne'vechem. Don't get annihilated or punished by or kicked, pushed by your enemies. Ki ha'amaleki v'aknani sham b'thnechem. The Amaleki and the Kanani are there before you. This is not going to be some sort of free ride. Fal t'machar, you're going to die. You're not going to win, I'm telling you. You're going to fall by the sword. The way Rashi translates this next phrase is, this is because you have turned away from God, and God will not be with you. not going to be with you. So this, you're going this one alone. Nevertheless, and this is why we call them the Ma Pilim, they refuse to obey Moshe's instructions. Vayapilu la'alot al rosh ha'har. Let's translate that loosely as they stubbornly persist in ascending the mountain. Va'aron brit Hashem Moshe lo mashu mikar v'machane. And the Ark of God's covenant and Moshe do not move from the camp. As opposed to last week's parsha, which we spoke about, where it's Vahib and so Aaron, and the Aaron is Viafutsoi Vianusim Misanecha Mipanecha, here it's still in the camp. They're on their own. And indeed, Vayir Amaleki Vaknani, the Amaleki and the Knani descend, Hayoshe Baharahu, that were living in that mountain, Vayakum Vayach Tumara Charma. They wipe them out until Charma. Wipe them out. And that's it. That's it for the Mapilim. It's a bit of a challenging story to digest. How should we look at the Ma'apilim? On the one hand, they said, Chatanu l'Hashem. Now, even if that's not perfect, if only the Jews had said that every time they sin. We read through the stories about the Dor HaMidbar. We rarely hear those words. It's always, oh no, save us, how could you have done this to us? Now they're saying, we sinned. And not only do they say it, they're backing it up. Okay, we're right. Moshe, we got it. But it doesn't work. And Moshe told them not to. There's another aspect of this story also, and that is the retelling of this in Devarim. So as you may know, in the beginning of Devarim, Moshe sort of recasts their journey through the desert after 40 years, and he actually focuses on this story of the Meraglim. And here again, we pick up from his retelling of the story after the Chil Meraglim, after they complain, and he ends that, Moshe ends that story by saying the following concluding statement. V'atem, penu lachem u'sum ebar derech yamsum. Moshe says, okay, look guys, we blew it. We're going to turn around and go back toward the Yamsuf, back into the desert. Now, we'll read the retelling of the Ma'apilim and consider the slight difference here. Batanu batamru elai. And you answered to me, Chatanu l'Hashem. We have sinned to God. Anachnu na'lev n'chamnu. We're going to go up and fight. K'chol asher tzivanu Hashem elokeinu. Like everything God, Hashem our God commanded us. Vatakaru ish ekli me'achamto. Each person grabbed their weapons. Vatahinu la'alo tahara. And they persisted in going up the mountain. The word vatahinu is a challenging word. Maybe we'll see some translations in just a minute. But I think if you sort of compare these stories, you do see one potential translation which some of the Mefarshim offer. Again, in source number two, the verse we're studying is Mem Aleph, where they say we're going to fight. If you look in source number one, in Pasuk Mem, what do they say? Hinenu ve'alinu. Hinenu. Behold. Right? We're ready. So it could be Vatahinu is sort of from the word Hain, or Hinenu. We're ready. We're not taking no for an answer. We are going up the mountain. We made up our minds. Hinenu, we're ready, God. Whether or not you're ready for us, we are ready for you. And you went up, says Moshe. Vayomer, and here's the thing. Vayomer Hashem Eli. Hashem said to me. Right? And this is another answer to the question I asked before. Emor lahem lo ta'alu v'lo tilachamu k'nei mekirbachem. Tell them, don't go up and don't fight, ki I'm not with you. Because I'm not with you. That was an Israeli-Americanism right there. Ki I'm not with you. Because I'm not with you. V'lo tinagafu l'nei oivechem. And don't get struck before your enemies. So here, in the way that Moshe tells it, and I don't think it's inconsistent, it's just sort of a detail that we're not clued into in the story of Mishalah. Here, Hashem says what Moshe told the Jewish people in Bamidbar. He says, God says, don't tell them not to go. I'm not with them. Tell them, don't go. I don't want it. Which makes the Ma'apilim even more controversial. It's one thing to when Moshe tells you, look, I ain't going. That means Moshe says, don't go. And you say, I ain't listening. It's another thing when God says, don't go. I told you didn't listen. And here he casts it in very negative terms. You rebelled against the word of God, and you brazenly ascend the mountain. The Amori that are in that mountain, which is one of the Canaanite nations, pursue you and they fight you, and they strike you like the bizu. Okay. So how should we look at these ma'apilim? What did they do? Is there any redeeming quality to their tshuva? How should we understand their decision? What were they thinking, right? Like, it's not just that, you know, it wasn't the right thing to do, but it was also kind of foolish. Like, did they expect this to work? Did they expect God to save them miraculously? What were they thinking in their decision-making? So one approach is that, you know, essentially this was incomplete tshuva. And I think it's really easy to understand, right? You can compare this to any case if you ever had a campers or students or something like that, where a kid's like, you want some a kid to do something, you say, and they say, no, no, no. And you say, look, this is your last chance. And if you don't say yes, I'm going to take this away from you, right? And they say, no, no, no. And then what do? You punish them and say, okay, okay, I understand. Okay, okay, I'll do it, right? And it's like, yeah, but you're doing it because now you realize that I mean business and I'm punishing you. Well, now it's too late. Meaning, where was all this fervor and desire to follow the will of God when I told you that I wanted it? And now that you're telling me that you want to, it's not sincere. It's not really tshuva. Tshuva isn't, well, now that God said he's going to punish me, you know what? I actually don't want to get punished. And yeah, classically, you could phrase this way. Were they sorry for what they did, or were they sorry that they were getting punished? Right? What's the tshuva really from? I don't want to... Actually, you know what? I'd rather not die in the desert and wander here endlessly for 40 years. So actually, God, now that you think about it, I'm actually going to go up. No, like that's not enough. So different ways of saying this idea you see in the Mefarshim, different emphases. So the Kiryat Yitzhak in source number 3 says that this wasn't really fully sincere. Afa pisha besof amru hinene ba'alinu al-makom ha-sharmar Hashem ki chatanu. Kiryat Yitzhak says, even though they said, here we go, we're going up to the place that God wanted, and we've sinned, lo yov lo klom ki libam galoi v'tzafor lefanav shelo shavim milibam ki mnei yirat agzera. Right? God knows what's in your heart. You know, they're not actually doing tshuva. They just don't want to get punished. They don't want to suffer this horrific decree. Ki mishmashal shav me'achari ha-melech beit ha-melchama ki talabo chamat ha-melech. Right, like at a time of war, a person who decides to declare their loyalty to the king because the king was angry at them. The king's not going to take that apology because I know why you're saying this, because you don't want to get punished because I'm angry at you. That's not tshuva. That's one way of looking at this. They weren't sincere. They were just responding to the decree. There are others who have a slightly different emphasis. The Ksava Kabbalah says like it was tshuva, but it was lacking. It wasn't sufficient, right? Because it's one thing. What sort of response should tshuva evoke? And think of what they said. What did they say? God, we sinned, now we're ready. Tshuva, if you think about it, even just in terms of the Rambam's terms, is a pretty intensive emotional process. Charata, it's regret. It's I'm not going to do it again. It's vidoy. Like it means recognizing that what you did is really awful. And I think it also comes with a certain amount of humility and indebtedness. Like I don't deserve anything. I rejected your instructions. I didn't follow what you wanted, Hashem. And now I am putting myself before you like a humble servant. And that's not what they really do. They say like, okay, God, we sinned, we're ready. That's not full tshuva. Simply saying, I sinned and now I want to do what you want isn't enough. Because it needs to come from your heart. And that's what the Ksav Kabbalah writes here in Source 5. Lo hayita mechanim nochak pnei Hashem l'balo fanav asher shel rachmachem. You didn't fully supplicate directly in front of God and confess in front of him until he would actually have mercy on you. Right? You thought that just by telling me, Chatan Hashem, by telling me, Moshe, I sinned to God, Moshe, we sinned, that's enough. That's not enough. She was supposed to be between you and God, not between you and another person, not between you and Moshe. As if by saying these words, you're good. Oh, I'm sorry. Without fully submitting oneself and humbling oneself before God. Like those who, it's appropriate to those who are really doing tshuva from their sins. To pour out their souls in front of God. An interesting linguistic point. They didn't go in front of God and say, Chatanu lach, we've sinned to you. They didn't say, it wasn't Yom Kippur. It said to Moshe, you know what, Moshe, we sinned to God, let's go. That's not full tshuva. Tshuva is in front of you and God. It requires a full process of recognizing the gravity of your sin and your place in this world. And they didn't do that. The Malbim of Hirsch take it a bit of a different way. In that, it's not just that their tshuva was inherently, it wasn't a general flaw. Their tshuva was a specific flaw written in the circumstance. In that, part of what they did wrong was to not realize that Hashem was going to be intimately involved in the Jewish people's ascent to Eretz Yisrael, and that this wasn't going to be some sort of demonstration of Klal Yisrael's strength and might and valor. That's not the point here. This was supposed to be God fighting for the Jewish people. There's supposed to be a reliance on God. And in what they say, the Mapilim are kind of saying, we're going to fight. We're going to do it. And that's part of the problem. The problem was they thought that they had to fight all these horrific, strong nations in these fortified cities. And they didn't realize that when Hashem says, I'm going to bring you, you don't have to worry about that. He's taking care of you. That was part of their chisaron, their deficiency here. So even when they say hinenu ve'alinu, which and they get their weapons, as it says in Devarim, that's not full tshuva because that was part of the problem. Part of the problem was they were relying on their military might. And maybe it's even in the Enlightenment, it's sort of appropriate where the Malbim and Rav Hirsch are sort of fighting this sort of more nationalist tendency. To okay, we're gonna take arms ourselves and create a nation, what's missing here is that there's a reliance on God that they didn't have. We'll take a look at Rav Hirsch here. It says a short, a bit more succinctly in source number 7, but the Malbim is similar. Right, one of you took your weapons. You thought that was enough. Okay, I got my weapons. I'm ready to go. Instead of being originally, when they sinned with the Meraglim, they were fearful. There was a cowardice, and that was a sinful cowardice. Now it's a sinful brazenness, a sinful bravery, if you will. You think you can do this by yourself without God's help when I told you you can't? No. And Mashet Yashem Asik and Mezra Hashem, that which you essentially gave up hope from achieving with the help of God. Now you think you can get it without God's help? Right? God said, I'm going to help you. You're going to go to Eretz Yisrael. And you said, no, we can't. It's too scary. The nations are too strong and too powerful. We can't go. And now I'm telling you, I can't help you. I'm not going to help you. And you're going anyway? That's exactly the opposite of what tshuva meant. Tshuva means whatever Hashem wants is what we're going to do. Right? Which leads us to the next point, and a third point also, I think they're connected, which is that there's another idea, which is maybe, the point isn't that their tshuva was not a good tshuva, maybe it was a good tshuva, at least partially, they said Chatanu L'Hashem, and they wanted her, but the point is that it was too little too late. God said, you're going to die in the desert now. You lost your chance. You don't get to do whatever you want, and then when you decide, say, now I want to get tshuva. And you can't expect Hashem to just continue to offer you all the opportunities he would have otherwise. There is a chance that you have, and sometimes if you miss the chance, it is just too late. And that's what the Ralbag and the Sfarno say here. If you look at the Ralbag, And source 80 says, "Hinei zachar k'zek yivishamam zotak zera k'ashem meshtem yitala. Nirminu gankin k'tzak ketzef magifa. Who mavet motzei diba takeif magifa l'Hashem." When they heard this, they heard what the decree, and they heard what happened to the meraglim who were killed in a plague. K'moshin iskar parasha shalachal zera bagin devarim. Az nischartu kasher lo haminu b'shem yitala v'eskimu lalot l'achem emori. They had regret. They had charata. That they had charata. They didn't believe in God, and they said, "Okay, we'll go up." V'shalacha Hashem mitalei shayolach moyem ki eshkachtonet vuka bahem mitzad otze Miriam. Listen, because you rebelled, God says, "I'm not with you. I refuse. What you did was horrible. It was a horrific sin. I'm not going to join you." And he told them not to go. V'him marushena pi Hashem v'alul alchem emarim asher sham bahar v'rofi Yisrael v'hikum b'seir ad charma. Right, as we saw, and ended up very badly. They were pursued and they were annihilated. And the Ralbag, in his commentary, always tells you the lessons we're meant to learn from each story. And here, he tells you the following lesson. Take the good God offers you when he offers it to you. Because if you don't take it when he gives you the offer, he might not offer it later. This reminds me of giving a series on religious Zionism, and in one of the Ravs, or Soloveitchik's most important speeches about the topic of the State of Israel, he talks about this, missing the appointed hour. It's a chapter in Kol Yofik. That's so much of, he says, of Torah and Mitzvot is about doing things when you have the opportunity. And another example, there between David and Shaul, right? What's the story of Shaul? Shaul doesn't wipe out Amalek like Hashem wants him to. And Shmuel says, "You sinned." And what does Shaul do? Denies it. Starts equivocating. "What do you mean? I did what God said. What do you mean? Look." And then Shmuel says, "That's it." And Shaul says, "You're right. I sinned." He missed the moment. It's not enough. And then there's the image of him grasping Shmuel's cloak, and then it rips, and then Hashem says, "God's ripping the covenant, the kingship from you." It was just a brief moment that Shaul had to do tshuva. Contrast that to David HaMelech, when David is confronted by Natan HaNavi for the sin of Bathsheba, David says, right away, fesses up, "You're right. You're right." It's about not missing the appointed hour. The Sforno, in source number 9, says similarly that, in a sort of halachic sense, that what they did was a Chil Hashem. And Chil Hashem is only niskaper with Misa. That certain sins only achieve atonement with your death. So, it wasn't going to be enough. And this leads to maybe the most controversial idea, that of the Netziv. I won't read the whole thing. But the Netziv says that, getting back to his question, what did they expect? And Siv says, you know what? They knew what they were getting themselves into. The Ma'apilim knew what was going to happen. They did not expect this to work. But they said, "We are going anyway. We are going anyway. We're going to go to Eretz Yisrael, regardless of the fact that God said it's not going to work. We are going to be Moser Nefesh. We're going to give our lives because this... we realize we messed up, and we're willing to show how much it means to us to go to Eretz Yisrael, even if it means dying." That's what he reads, suggests here. I'll just go to the last paragraph. You can look at the rest of it. But he says, at the beginning of the second, end of the second page here, where it says, "Ki al kein shatem me'achorei Hashem, ne'al amram alinu al makom asher amar Hashem." They wanted to go to the place that God gave them. So Netziv agrees with Ari Twain before. Moshe says your tshuva is not going to work because it's a rebellious tshuva. Because it's nice that you want to rebel. I mean, you want to do tshuva. But Hashem said no. Hashem said no. This is it. You're going to wander in the desert and die. That's what's happening to you.
Over
Okay, actually, he says they well, at least wanted to go to the mountain, non-Derech Israel proper. At least then, at least that much. And that didn't work either. Because then he mentions Chol Hashem. I wanted to mention another point here. Actually, take a look at the bold in the beginning of the paragraph in source number in the third page here, where if you look at the bold, it says, become makom chizku levavam lashov sharazar zu ena ela kadei shetei mesiris nevesh be'emes. That they should have listened to Moshe, but they thought maybe God's just, why is Hashem telling us we're not going to win? He wants to see if we're willing to sacrifice it all. He wants to see. It's one thing to go and say we're going to win, but it's more than that. We're going and saying we're not going to win, but we don't care. We are not taking no for an answer. We are not accepting this decree. We want to go to Eretz Yisrael and repair the sin that we committed. Mysterious Nashash, he quotes a medrash in Shir HaShirim. Moshe Matzim Ra Shir HaShirim. Be'et Shabo Chanan Mishal V'Arazari L'Shol T'Piyo Yechazka HaNavi. And Mi'am Olehem HaKadosh Baruch Hu Be'et Shiyapilo Otzmo K'nlosh B'Kashan Eish. Chanan El Mishal V'Arazari went to ask Yechazkel if God would stand with them when they fell into the fire. Ha'itza Tshuva Shalo Yamod. And they were told it wouldn't work. Because they were not supposed to be Moser Nefesh Amenash and that Anes happens, the Medrash says. So that's what they thought. They thought that God was testing them. And this relates to a very controversial point that Tzikar HaTzadik means here. Tzadik HaKohen HaMedlin. Because on the one hand, you could clearly say, like, if God tells you to do something, you might have a good rationale. You might say, I'm doing tshuva. But God said no. God said no. And that's why many of these Mefarshim Rebbe are saying it doesn't, like, it's nice that you have this inclination, but ultimately, what are we here to do? We're here to follow Ratzon Hashem. If Hashem tells you, don't go, don't go. But Tzadik HaKohen here quotes a fascinating Gemara in Pesachim. Take a look at the bold. You follow the will of God with everything He says, except leave. When Hashem says, leave, then you don't follow. You know the story of Elazar ben Derdaya, the rabbi who, or the person who sinned with every prostitute in the world, and then he asks the mountains and all these things, and a baskel comes down, and the baskel say, Elazar ben Derdaya can't do tshuva. And that's when Elazar ben Derdaya says, Ena davar tali ela bi, and he does tshuva. So sometimes God says, you're out, and that's when you don't listen. And that's what the Mapilim thought, says Tzadik HaKohen. V'lo l'chinan katva Torah on yinam Mapilim, parashat Shlach, asher kfar haminu midivrei Moshe, v'lo lo shamulo b'zesh, amr lehem al talalu, ela sheim chashu shezeh b'chal chot mitzeh. They thought this wasn't that rule. God was saying, leave, I don't want you, and we won't listen. We don't take that instruction, we don't want you. Now, it wasn't appropriate at the time, but he says, b'ikvas ed meshicha, it's appropriate. Ikvas and Mashiach. Mashiach comes. It's the chutzpah of the time of Mashiach. The chutzpah yaski of the Gemara. The chutzpah to say, God, we are not going to be rejected no matter what. So it's a very complicated story. It's controversial. And I think ultimately, I think a simple level, they didn't do the right thing. Because ultimately, tshuva isn't just, I want to get to Eretz Yisrael and I blew the opportunity before, but now I want to listen to you. Tshuva means hachna. It means submission. It means whatever Hashem wants, that's what I want to do. That's what tshuva is really about. But there is this other aspect to the story, another way of looking at them as people who refuse to take no for an answer, refuse to accept rejection from God. And there's a certain will and persistence that I think we can gain from that. That regardless of how much sometimes we see that we think God's rejecting us, where things are tough, or it's really hard, that there's a persistence to say, no, I'm not going to be rejected, I refuse. And that's something I think that we can take from the Mapilim. Thank you very much.